transition specialist, and I had her, we were talking about all these different things, and I said, oh my goodness, Leslie, I'm far enough removed a little bit from her day-to-day world. I wanted her to share with me some of the ideas and things. Do you want me to use that?
Just for the recording.
Oh, for the recording, yes. So I asked Leslie to kind of help brainstorm with me some of the partnership things that we've been doing. And it's quite a list. And these ladies behind me are definitely a big part of that as well. But one thing we started doing 2 years ago, Nance, was it?
Uh-huh.
We started doing quarterly joint meetings between the commission and the school leadership team. And we take turns going to each other's offices and learn more about our services, eligibility. And Kathy, I can give you a copy of this if you'd like. Would that be helpful?
That'd be great.
If you're over there, I know how that is, taking notes. Eligibility, order selection, as all that has changed. Sharing our concerns back and forth, brainstorming strategies to improve collaborative efforts. And before I go any further, beans, I've been here 20 years plus. This is, and those of us have been around, Nancy and I, we could about tear up at the meeting the other day. We start talking about some of these things. This is groundbreaking for NCEC BVI and the commission to be doing some of these projects together. Carlos, we've talked about a lot of these things for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting because we got Leslie on board and really kind of gave her the mission to do that. She does not have a blindness background, but she is a transition specialist. And that was my mission for her, is to marry the world of teachers of the visually impaired, our students and families, with the adult services that we work with. And she's just done a phenomenal job. So those quarterly joint meetings have been great. Or I'll just keep yapping and you guys have other business to do. And then we also have had the commission staff on our campus throughout the last couple of years on a regular basis. We have counselors have attended 14 IEP MDT meetings. That's just for our kids on campus. Staff have come from Norfolk, Kearney, Scotts Bluff, and Lincoln offices or regions. Quarterly, we have commission staff who observe students in class, and they're helping provide pre-ed services. They've attended the Career Challenge. The commission has attended the Career Challenge. Peru State College offers. They've been offering that for years, but it's looked a little different off and on over the years. But it's a chance for students to come in and try out their job skills, and the commission staff went with our staff, which has been a great event. And then they also attended our statewide conferences this last year on expanded core curriculum. The school students and staff at the commission, I must have a typo there, but the students and staff have toured, this is what happens at the commission, our staff and students have toured the training center in Lincoln. They've attended commission technology training opportunities, jointly toured the state capitol and the vendor restaurant business. And then we also have what we call a statewide transition work group. And that's made up of a number of teachers of the visually impaired that Leslie pulls together on a regular basis to train them about transition. That's my background, and that has been a huge concern of mine, that teachers of the visually impaired, and in many cases, it's a special ed teacher who's in charge of all of that, and we really want teachers of the visually impaired to have a better understanding, to be way more actively involved in planning those transitions, and not just assume it's somebody else's job. So Leslie's pulled together TVIs from around the state. They this semester had a meeting at the commission and toured the training center, as well as they heard a presentation from HHS Developmental Disabilities on how we can all work together, which was excellent, I heard. I didn't get to come to that. They've also worked a lot on adult service agency linkages. NCEC BVI and commission staff have worked together to effectively plan and implement individual student transitions from school to work. They visited, met, and toured a variety of service providers and their programs and facilities, such as Region 5 services in Auburn, David City, and I know they've toured several others. We have had our students linked somewhat in the past, or right about the time they're about to leave. When I look at we just had four kids graduate yesterday. When I look at our kids that are graduating, Leslie's done a fabulous job of getting the commission involved at a much younger age, as well as if they have developmental disabilities, working with those ages. I know, Nance, I'm thinking of a Gretna student specifically. Nancy and the staff in Gretna Public Schools, plus our staff, all worked really hard with his transition to get him set up for where he's going after school gets out. So, as like I said, that's my background and my passion, and I am just thrilled with all the collaborations going on, getting those kids set up so they have a seamless transition. They've also encouraged those developmental disability service providers together and assisted in setting up community-based work sites. We work really hard to get kids out on job sites around Nebraska City community. We don't want them to go to those adult service providers and not continue working in the community and moving on with those employment skills. So that also has been happening. Assisted with training adult service provider staff members on blindness basics and sharing instructional strategies that have been successful with our students to carry over into their transitions. That's very important. A lot of times we get calls and they've never maybe had someone who's totally blind, who's also autistic, also has developmental disabilities, maybe orthopedic, and they call and say, okay, what's this white cane and what do we do with that here? We have to make sure that their staff is prepared for our students who we serve to enter into those worlds. We've also, another exciting one related to employment is a summer work experience program. We started that with our kids and working with commission staff to find job coaches so in the summer the kids are employed in the community. So easy to start with a couple of kiddos who live in Nebraska City because we know where we've placed them in Nebraska City. That was fairly easy. One of our paras served as a job coach. But then we went, wait a minute, what about the kiddos who go home for the summer? So I think the first ones, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but we had a couple students up in the David City area. And so we called the David City Public Schools. We knew the special ed teacher who's been involved for years. She said, I'll do that for the summer. So jointly, the Commission for the Blind, our staff, beat the streets, so to speak, in David City, got ideas up there, found job sites. The Commission for the Blind assisted with funding that for the student to actually work and have a job coach for the summer. So that's been the next step, is getting jobs for our kids in their home districts and connected with all the services. And now Leslie's also done that with some other students, and I know Nancy's worked with some other students as well. Outside outreach, what we would call outreach students who don't go to school here, but working with their districts and their local home district areas, so in their communities. The last bullet is collaborative projects, which all these have been collaborative. But these are specific things. I know Leslie and Shane have provided presentations at the transition conference together, toured. The commission staff toured the DD service provider locations where our students are going to be working and helped with that transition. We both have staff serving on the Omaha Metro Transition Advisory Committee, and that's a group that ESU3 out of the Omaha area puts together, and that's with all those secondary special education teachers who are working in the area of transition. Another place where we're knocking on the door saying, you got some great transition programs for special ed kids, but where are the kids who are blind? We want to make sure they're involved in those programs. So trying to get in the inroads with those things as well. And then the last one we're excited to, Carol and I have been working on, we have had a summer camp for many years. It's kids from around the state, not kids who are on campus during the school year. And we are doing that as a joint project this year with the Commission for the Blind and making sure that those kids who are your clients and our students also helping joint fund, and the commission staff will come down and help teach pre-eds to our camp. Our campers, and Becky may know this, our campers want to come and just have fun. So we have to trick them that they're actually going to learn some academics while they're here. So we call it camp. It's all fun, but then we embed all the transition skills and those things in. And so we'll do that jointly with our staff and the commission staff and do that together as a joint project. First time in history. I remember we threw that out as an idea at a meeting a few years ago, and it's happening for the first time, so which we're very, very pleased to see. So, questions, yes.
Yeah. I have some questions about some of the collaborative efforts you're starting to talk about that I think sounds like are fairly new. And it's certainly in areas where maybe our services in the past have overlapped a little bit. I guess one example might be the summer camp program you just talked about.
Right.
You guys have offered a summer camp for a long time, and we've offered a program called Project Independence for a long time. I think I had the right name for that. And so younger kids coming together for about a week, and have some opportunities for fun, and they get tricked a little bit into learning. And
yes.
Becky has worked that for us a couple times, several years.
About 5 years.
5 years now?
Yes.
Do you see a difference between these programs, the types of kids that they're serving, or do you see them as similar programs, just two opportunities for kids to get that type of experience over the summer?
I think they come at families as different opportunities to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make sure we coordinate those so they don't land on the same time, other than wages, of course.
Yeah,
a lot of times kiddos will come back to our camps, but ours is 4 or 5 days in June.
Okay.
Camp Abilities is always in July. We have families a lot of times say, is there anything for our kids in the summer? And yes, it's looked at. Here's a whole list. Absolutely, there's some similarities and things we're working on. We, like you said, we might all trick them, but trick them differently.
Right.
Where obviously that one's really focused on independence and independent living, correct? And where wages obviously has independent living, but employment.
Right.
Where ours is camp, but may have some of those things woven in. We have different themes and things. So a lot of the same kids, some of the same staff are involved in a lot of those things, but it's all offered to families as different opportunities, but we definitely don't want to overlap dates and conflict with that.
I know, like PI and wages, the two that I have a little more experience or knowledge about, certainly are geared to two different age groups.
Correct. Correct.
So the camp that it sounds like you offer two different camps in the summer?
We offer one.
A one.
We offer one camp called Sizzlin Summer Camp. We called it that once and it just stuck. we basically sent it out, blasted statewide to teachers of the visually impaired. We've had 5-year-olds up to 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
We've had kids who are going on to college who are very academic. We've had students very severe disabilities, tube fed. So we just kind of opened the doors, first come, first serve, the first 20. We have another secret about camp. We always say we limit it to 20, and then we'll start a waiting list, and it somehow ends up we have 3 or 4 on the waiting list, and I'm not real good at saying no.
Yeah.
So we end up just saying, sure, come on in. Once we get the kids who are coming, we tend to have, and I don't know, half and half, half kids that are returning. We know them very well. We get newbies. We get new ones that we've never met before, and then we just kind of group kids according to age and or ability. And then we staff it accordingly. So very laid back, and then they build the activity schedule accordingly.
The kids that you serve in the school here during the school year tend to be have more challenges than just their vision.
It has varied, Mike. In 20 years, we've had around 20 students on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's been up to about 24. It's been to about 16. So. And I'm the worst one absolutely today right now to tell you the exact number, but it's always right about 20.
Sure.
Some kids come in for short term, some kids come in for long term.
Mm-hmm.
We've had students who have come in who are college prep. They may come in for a shorter time just to work on maybe Braille skills, orientation, mobility. So it varies.
Okay.
Over time, it has fluctuated. When I came, it was mostly kids with multiple disabilities.
Okay.
It's went back up to more life skills, employed in the community, not probably college bound, but like it has varied. Right now we have a student who goes to Nebraska City Middle School for part of her day for academics and half the day here. But the biggest portion of our possibility is our kids with multiple disabilities.
And I guess that was that question was leading into the summer programs then. Are the kids that attend your summer programs, while the kids that come here during the school year the larger percentage of them might have multiple challenges besides just their blindness. The kids that come here during the school year or during the summer certainly could be some of those same kids, but also a lot of kids that might be just are being mainstreamed through public school during the school year.
Yes.
And this is a great opportunity for
them. The kids who come in the summer are out in the public schools, and the ability level and ages greatly vary. I think this year we have the youngest maybe is 8 up to 21. And we have a lot of kiddos who are more included in the regular curriculum in the summer. But I don't think this year we have any kids with multiple severe needs, but we definitely have in the past. It's always a huge variety, and every summer's different. Mm-hmm. So we just open the doors and come one, come all. Well, up to 20 some. 20 plus. So it's a really fun week, and it's fun for our staff because we get to meet other kids as well. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of field trips and tours in the community and swimming and all those fun things too. Couple of years we were out at our Girl Scout camp, Camp Katrin here in Nebraska City, when we were under construction. So that included challenge courses, obstacle courses, and they have a pool, and so the outdoor education more were those. Where when they come here, it's camp, but it's kind of like camping at the Holiday Inn here. So they're inside, but with some outdoor activities. But yes, but we all try to. We just had that conversation in our last meeting, making sure we have the dates of all of those. I know Crystal Platt, who usually texts me or emails me and says, well, let's make sure Camp Abilities isn't the same time because it's a week long at the same type of camp as well. So.
Right.
But other questions? I've probably gone way over.
No, we're
not.
We're
not too bad? Okay.
I got just two questions.
Yes, Mark.
You had mentioned that this particular location, you don't just serve the students that are here, you're statewide.
Correct.
And what you said, like 800?
Yes, there's over 800 students in the state. That is if they are verified as blind, mm-hmm. Legally blind, or partially sighted. And that includes probably half of those kids are partially sighted.
Sure.
Well, I shouldn't say half, but a large number of them are. And according to Nebraska Rule 51.
How confident are you or are we as a state knowing that we've identified the legally blind students and also those that have visual impairments that maybe aren't legally blind? Do we have a pretty good
network? This would be my opinion. I think blind, legally blind, I feel pretty confident about that. I will tell you there are areas in the state where there is not a Becky teacher of the visually impaired. That greatly concerns me. And that would be more the kids with multiple disabilities.
Oh.
As we have worked closely with all the educational service units in the state. My dream was that each one had one or two. Where Becky works, they have two. We do have a couple of ESUs in the area that don't have someone. And we find it, and Becky, you probably do too. We go into a district because they have a new student that moved in, small districts especially, and they don't know what to do because we know this student has a visual impairment. And we may go in and start working with them, and sure enough, they've got other kids with multiple disabilities. And quite frankly, right or wrong, vision maybe hasn't been identified because they have all these other issues going on. And then when you kind of help teach those special education teachers what to look for and things to think about, they go, oh, you know what, Johnny over here may have a visual impairment. I never thought of that, but he's nonverbal and he can't speak. And so that tends, it truly is, we get a teacher of the visually impaired working in ESU area that's never been had someone before, it is build it, they'll come. And we do tend to, I do believe that that's a big part of it, that the identification, but I do believe that's mostly kids with multiple disabilities.
Okay.
Not so much kids who are maybe only have a visual impairment.
Can I add to that?
Yes, please, Becky.
We also have kids that are misdiagnosed or misidentified because a new thing, well, it's probably within the last 5 years maybe or so, we are dealing more with cortical vision impairment, which
yes.
is a neurological issue between the brain and the eyes.
Sure.
And
right.
so some of these kids are diagnosed with behaviors. Some of them are diagnosed with autism. And until somebody looks into cortical vision impairment, which is a visual impairment.
Yes.
They won't be diagnosed until somebody steps up and says, hey, let's do some testing for this, or let's check into medical records to see if there was some kind of neurological issue when they were a child that could cause this cognition impairment.
And that diagnosis is just growing leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and because of that, we are seeing so many more kids that are having visual impairments and not so much the autism or the behaviors. But it is something that needs to be diagnosed and looked at.
Yes, that's another what we call work group that we have set up here where we've pulled teachers to get special training, and they've got some things in the works to help teach statewide. But that's very true, Becky. Thank you for bringing that up. And if there's not a Becky in the area that they know or to call or to even think about, then those kids are getting missed. That's right.
They fall through the cracks.
That's right, because they don't appear to have a visual impairment.
Exactly.
Because it's more in the brain processing. So, yeah, that's become a huge change in our field.
How many TBIs do we have in the state of Nebraska?
I need to probably count. I want to say around 60.
Okay.
60, 65. I used to say 50. But I know there's numerous service units now that have TBIs that didn't have them in the past. So I want to say 60 to 65.
The other question I had was, how is Nebraska position where, like Iowa, didn't their school for the blind close?
Yes.
And what was the reason for that, and why are we able to stay open, and how are we going to continue to stay open?
Right. Iowa closed their residential program, and they have it more as an outreach. Iowa's system was so different to begin with. They work under their Board of Regents with their college system, which I always thought it worked for them, but I can't imagine going to University's Board of Regents. There's no connection to the Department of Ed. But works for them. That's great. But all their ESUs own, so to speak, their teachers of the visually impaired. So they have a total different system. In Nebraska, 20 years ago when we implemented our state plan, we have a diagram that looks like a wheel to a car. And the hub is us here at the school, the center. And all the spokes are arrows going in and out. And of all those programs, like the resource center you saw downstairs, student and family programs such as the camp, the center-based program, which is the school, all the outreach services, professional development, all of those are looked at as part of one big program. And, I don't want to say this about my friends in Iowa, but in special education, obviously mainstreaming and inclusion are strongly pushed, and that is the go-to now. But you legally have to have the full continuum of service available, all the way to fully included to a segregated program. And so that's why I think that is still an option. We do have Iowa students that come over.
Okay.
And so we meet fairly regularly with my Iowa counterparts, and because they have to pay more of an out-of-state tuition, it's more of a cost to them, but that's their answer to that is we are their answer if they need to send students who need those rural specialized services. And then same in Nebraska, we don't have a school for the deaf.
Right.
So our kids go to the Iowa School for the Deaf. So it's been a really great partnership in Council Bluffs that we pass back and forth both fields.
Yeah, I lived in Wisconsin for a while. It seemed like every 2 years there was the fiscal concern we're going to shut down the school.
Wisconsin has had a lot of that.
I don't think I've heard that here. As you described it, you're kind of the hub.
Yeah.
Of the wheel.
Yep. And Wisconsin went through what we did.
Yeah.
And I think there were rumors about that, but just totally looked at making it more of a statewide program.
Yeah.
And has how we're called the center, Wisconsin is too. So they kind of went through the same process we did about 15, 20 years ago too.
Yeah, because I just had
with the same result.
Okay.
So.
That helps a lot, thank you.
Yes, still keeping that residential piece intact for or day students, whatever, but as well as, but greatly expanded on outreach services.
Okay.
So, good question.
So I'm just going to say, Mark, with your question about numbers, and maybe you already have all this sell in. So the Friends of the Commission, we're going to help do some fundraising for kids programs and for seniors. So we've got from a guy at UNL I'm not sure what his job is, but he went through the results from the last census for the United States Census, most current one. So anyway, so we have it. He got us information of And of course, on the census, it's self-reported if you have a visual impairment. So he's got it broken out for us from, you know, age, you know, 0 up to 14, and 14 to 21, 21 to 64,
really?
And 64 on up. And he's got it broken down to each county.
Oh,
you know,
my
the
goodness.
Number, the percentages, and you know, the count. So if anybody wants, you know, it's a spreadsheet.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's a spreadsheet. Well, he also has, he took the time to actually wrote it out, you know, just a summary, you know, of, again, these key areas that we were specifically looking for.
Sure, sure.
So I can send it to you.
Oh, interesting.
This.
I'd be interested to look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, the 800 number, I'm a big statistics kind of guy, and 800 falls in line with what the national statistics per population would
sure.
suggest.
Sure.
I don't know why Nebraska would be any different probably
right.
than
right.
anywhere else.
And if you ask the Department of Education, they'll say, and I don't know, I'm making this up, but they'll say 212, or they'll have a 200 number. But
that would be the
according least. To that's just primary.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean blind, legally blind, or partially sighted, but it's our special education system and what box gets checked as primary.
Yeah.
So even our Department of Ed has questioned me going, why do you keep telling people you have 800 kids? There's not that many kids in Nebraska. Yeah, there are, but they don't collect as detailed information as we do. So, but that we have to collect that number so teachers can call and check out materials for those kids and they have to register the kids. So, all right.
I can't speak for all the TDIs in the state, but I personally appreciate your school and your staff and for everything you do for our kids.
Thank you.
It's just amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. We're home away from home to Becky and all her colleagues. So those dorms have been lived in for summers and for all the training programs, and UNL does coursework here. So yeah, we have a lot of great partners and resources for the teachers.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
My first time here has been very,
yeah.
very
good. Welcome. And come back again and we'll give you even more of a tour. So it's always hard because there's so much to show.
You do open houses for
We do from time to time. We had one when we added a historical marker outside.
Okay.
Our local museum association did that for us with the State Historical Society. So it was Christmas time. We took a chance that we didn't have 8 inches of snow on the ground, but it rolled in that night. But we do from time to time,
okay.
Mark, and we've talked about we need to do that more often and also
sure.
outside of Nebraska City community and send it out. So, and we're going to have a big anniversary coming up here pretty soon, too.
Oh, when is that?
Yeah. Yeah, our 1875, so next year's our 145th? Yes,
45th.
145. Got to write that down. March 10th, 2020 will be our 145th
okay.
birthday. So, because it seemed like we just had our 140th. Wow, that's 4 years ago. All right. All right, let me know if I can get you anything today, and we should have lunch coming about noon. I'm going to go check on that.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.